Tonight's shiur, sponsored by the Weinblatts, and Li'ilui Nishmas Yaakov Yitzhak Ben Chaim. Yaakov Avinu, after he leaves the house of Lavan, and Lavan pursues him on the way, and after he catches up to him, he accuses Yaakov of stealing his trafim, his gods. And Yaakov comments, he says, "Im asher timtzas alohecha lo yichye." He was trying to say, look, I don't have your gods, I don't know what you're talking about, and anybody who has your gods, lo yichye, let him die. So Rashi tells us here, lo yichye, and we also klala mesa rachel badera. Well, because of this klala, Rachel died on the way. Why? Because we know, unbeknownst to Yaakov, he didn't realize this, but Rachel did take the trafim from Lavan and was she was sitting on them, she was hiding them. So Yaakov didn't realize, he didn't know this. So he made a comment, whoever has your gods, let them die. Well, Maisa, Rachel did have them, and as a result, she died, says Rashi. So the Chafetz Chaim points out from here, it's going to be the topic of our discussion tonight, of how careful a person has to be with his speech. Because surely Yaakov had no desire whatsoever, the Chas V'Shalom, you know, his wife should die, right? He just didn't realize that she had the trafim. Had he known, he would have never said such a thing. So he had no kavana whatsoever, understandably, that this, what he said, should apply to his own wife. Yet, the fact that it came out of his mouth, that was enough to have its effect, and it caused her death. We see other couple of examples of this, one with Yaakov himself later on. Right? Yaakov didn't know what happened to his son Yosef, thought maybe he was dead. And meanwhile, Yosef was the viceroy, second in command in Egypt. And Yaakov sends his sons to get food from Egypt, as we know the story. What happens? This viceroy, who was Yosef, disguises himself, pretends he doesn't know his brothers, and says, hey, who are you? You're spies. Sends them back, with holding on to Yehuda, asking to bring Binyamin, etc. So, can you imagine what would have been if Yaakov, which probably we would have maybe done, you know, after hearing all this tircha and these false accusations, you know, made on his sons, surely, you know, you would expect Yaakov to, like, curse out this viceroy, and say, oh, what is this guy doing? You know, he said, for no reason, he's saying my sons are spies and making me give up my son. And, you know, sure, it angered him, and he would have liked to just curse him out. But he didn't. Can imagine what would have been, chas v'shalom, same thing, if Yaakov would have cursed out this viceroy, not reeling his son Yosef. Just like he cursed Rachel and she died, if he would have cursed out, without any kavana, but had he cursed out this viceroy, which would then ended up being his son, chas v'shalom could have been led to the death of his own son Yosef. So I was thinking, it could be Yaakov learned his lesson. He was careful not to say things so fast. You know, what's the chance his viceroy is his son? Okay, but you never know. Just like he never dreamed that his wife would have took Lavan's trafim, but you never know. So to hear, he was extra careful not to curse out anymore, because you never know, and one's speech has a tremendous effect. Another example of this with David HaMelech. David HaMelech says, "Chatzos laila kum lehodos lach." David HaMelech says to Hashem, I get up in the middle of the night to give thanks to you. So why, what's David doing? Couldn't find a better time to thank Hashem. Right? Why do you have to thank Hashem in the middle of the night? In the middle of the night. They say that, Chazal tell us that when Boaz, who was the, you know, grandfather of David, when Boaz was, he used to sleep out in the field, in the threshing place. Why? Because in those days, the people were like paruts, and it was like a hangout. You know, they go out in the threshing field, you know, the boys and the girls, whatever. And he was like Mishmer Tatsnias, they have here. You know, watch out that there shouldn't be any funny business going on. And Boaz took it upon himself to actually sleep outside in the threshing place to make sure that there'd be no hanky-panking going on. So what happens? Here's Boaz, you know, sleeping there, and the story goes with Megillus Rus, he says, hey, somebody's, at my feet over here. And one of he turns around, who does he see? He sees a young woman, Ruth, right? So, can you imagine what would have been if he said, aha, caught one, you're coming out in the middle of the night here sleeping, and he would have cursed her out. He says, chas v'shalom, what would have been if Boaz would have cursed out Ruth? It would have been led, chas v'shalom, to, let's say, her death. And no Ruth, so no David HaMelech who came from Ruth. So therefore, that's why David HaMelech would get up in the middle of the night and say, oh, thank you, Hashem. Thank you that my grandfather, Boaz, didn't curse my grandmother, Ruth. Because if Chas v'Shalom, he would have done so, I wouldn't be here right now. So a story with a Rav called the Chemdes Shlomo. He was a Rav in Warsaw. And Misnagdasha Rav. And he had a son, budding Talmud Chacham, and he had a problem because Nikolai, the Russia, he used to take boys and put them in his army service for 25 years. We think 3 years is a long time, okay? 25 years of army service. So the Chemdes Shlomo had this son, we said, budding Talmud Chacham, and last thing he wanted is to have his son go into this army. But he didn't know how to get out. So he sent out a message, and he said, anybody who can arrange somehow that my son should be exempt from the army, I'll reward him with, I'll give my son to this person's daughter or whatever, in marriage. So there was in Lenchitz, happens to be a city in Poland where my great-grandfather's from, my grandfather's from, actually. Lenchitz. It's called Lenchitz in Poland. So there was a chashev yid, a wealthy man in Lenchitz, named Refival. And he heard of this, and he had a daughter, an only daughter, and he was like, oh, he was like, can you imagine, if I can arrange such a thing, and my daughter, I can get married, the Chemdes Shlomo's the son, oh, it's a dream come true. So he happened to be a wealthy man, and he was thinking of a plan. So he said, I have an idea. Because he knew somebody who was this goy who owed him money. He owed him 10,000 rubles, a lot of money. And this goy's wife happened to have connections with the general in the Nikolai's army, whatever, he could pull strings, the kids. So he said, I'll give it a shot. So he goes to this, Refival goes to this guy, and he says, you owe me 10,000 rubles, where's my money? So the guy says, do me a favor, please, I don't have the money right now, can you give me extra time, whatever. So he says, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. He says, I know your wife and knows the general of the army, right? So if you can arrange to get the, Chemdes Shlomo's son out of the army, get him a tour, get him an exemption, then I'll tell you what, I'll erase the chob, you don't owe me any money. You don't have to pay me the 10,000 rubles, if your wife can arrange it. And not only that, I'll even give you the extra presents, whatever. So, of course, the guy goes, wow, that's a great opportunity. So he spoke to his wife, and that, sure enough, she went to the general, she pulled the strings, got him out of the army. So Chemdes Shlomo made a promise, keep his promise, and married off his son to the Refival's daughter. So the Refival, he, wealthy man or whatever, he offered that the couple should live by him, and they'll support them, while he's learned Torah. So it happened. But eventually, this young man, he got the bug, the Hasidish bug. And even though his father was the head of the Misnagdish community, and Chemdes Shlomo, we also said, was a Misnagdish Rav, but he got the Hasidish bug, and he hooked on with the Kotzker Hasidim. So at that time, the Kotzker Rebbe, was alive. And he decided that he's packing up and he's going to the Kotzker, stay by the Kotzker. So he leaves, he goes there, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month passed by, he doesn't come back. So Refival says, that's it, I'm sending a letter to my son-in-law's father, the Chemdes Shlomo. So he sends him a letter, and he says, listen, what happened to your son? You're not going to believe this. He's went to the Kotzker Rebbe, he's become a Hasid, and, what can I tell you? So the Chemdes Shlomo got very angry, and he goes to Chutzpah, and sent him a telegram or whatever note, and he said that I command you. He said to his son, I command you that you must come home before Shabbos. So the young man gets this letter. He reads it. He goes, doesn't know what to do. So what does every good chassid do? Doesn't know what to do.
Go
to his rabbi. So he goes to the kotzker and he says, I got this letter from my father. What do I do? He said, command me. I have to go home. So the kotzker reads the letter and he says, you stay here. You're not going anywhere. He says, don't worry. I'll take care of your father. I'll send him a letter. So he writes the letters. In it, he wrote something like, he says, you know, every person has three shutfim, right? The Gemara says. Three shutfim yesh l'adam. There's the father, the mother, and Kodesh Baruch Hu. Fine. So you're, you know, two parts of this shutaf, you and your wife. He says, but there's a third shutaf. That's Kodesh Baruch Hu. And your son is here, learning Torah. That's the shutaf hashlishi, the third partner. And the third partner doesn't agree with you, and therefore he's staying here. Okay. So he wrote this letter, and he sent it with a messenger, shaliach, and he told the messenger, make sure that the Chen Neshlomo gets this letter before Shabbos. You know, because he told the son he has to be home before Shabbos. So he has to have an explanation, you know, before Shabbos. So make sure this letter gets to before Shabbos. No problem. Anyway, the shaliach was unfortunately lax, and he didn't end up giving the letter to Chen Neshlomo before Shabbos. So Shabbos came, and his son didn't come to him. He didn't know what was happened, and he therefore made a comment. And he said, if the mitzvah's kibud of the aim, you know, is not important to my son, so then he says, imken l'shem machaim. He says, so why bother living? What's life all about if you're not even giving him a kaim in the mitzvah of kibud ave? Anyway, this comment slipped out of his mouth, and sure enough, his son got sick and died. So he later, the shaliach, comes after with this letter. Oh, I forgot about this letter. He gives it to Chen Shlomo. He opens it and he goes crazy and he says to this guy, you idiot. He says, what did you do? Because right? Had he got his letter, he would understand why his son didn't come. The Rebbe told him, whatever. But, you know, here he just thought his son wasn't listening to him. So, and he made this comment because of his comments and he killed his son. So he was, needless to say, very upset with the shaliach. The shaliach himself was like, beside himself, was like, how can I ever go back to the Rebbe? You know, Rebbe finds out it was my fault and this. So he for 10 years, he didn't step a foot back into, didn't go to the Rebbe. Finally, 10 years later, he decided to go to the Rebbe for Shavuos. Chag Shavuos, he comes into the Rebbe. Rebbe sees him 10 years later and says, wow, you look like a guy who just fell out of the second story window. Okay. So what happened? That afternoon, he davened in the Beis Medrash, which happened to be on the second floor, and he fell out of the window and he died. Anyway, so another example of, again, just how careful a person has to be. He didn't mean, you know, to kill his son, but wrong words came out at the wrong time, and that was his demise. Another example, there was a woman who... it was at her son's chasana. And during the dancing of her son's chasana, she just passed out and died. In the middle of the chasana. So everybody was talking, of course, what happened? Well, you know, looking for reasons why this should happen. Terrible, terrible thing, terrible tragedy. So they came to the conclusion, perhaps what it was. Also, she made a comment. This son was an older boy already. He was married a couple of times. Married first time, then he got divorced. He remarried, his wife died. And his mother was worried he's not going to find a shidduch again. He's getting older. He's already married twice, you know. Doesn't look good on his record. So she made a comment, and she said something to the effect that, you know, I don't want to leave this world until I see my son married. So making such a comment was, I said, maybe that was the cause. She says she's not going to leave the world until she sees her son. Sure enough, as soon as her son was married, she left the world. They say you have to be careful, again, what you say. Similarly, there's a Rav, his name was Moshe David Reisner. It's a big tzaddik, a big askan in Bnei Brak. And at his Levaya, there was one fellow's name was Rav Aryeh Gradenwich. And he was crying tremendously. They said, "What's wrong?" He said, "You know, you don't understand. This Rav Moshe David, he was such a good friend of mine." He says, "I can't take it." He says, I can't take it. I can't be without him." And he kept crying. He says, "I can't be without him. I can't be without him." And what happened? That very same day, he was driving, got into a traffic accident, and he was killed on the spot. Same day, he said, "I can't be." And what happened? In a miraculous way, the kever right next to Rav Moshe David became free, and he was buried right next to his next to his friend. So here is comment: I can't be without my friend. He ended up, yes, being with his friend, but then this time in the kever, because he wasn't careful what he was saying. I just heard recently, very interesting, a similar story with Moshe recent, that is Rav Shlomo Lawrence. That's all. He was a member of the Knesset here in Eretz Yisrael, and he just died a few months ago. And he wrote the book the Michitzasim. He had very close kesher with the Gedolim, with Rav Shach and the Brisker Rav and the Chazanish, and he wrote a sefer of all his experiences with all these Gedolim. Anyways, the story goes that when he was finished, he quit, resigned from the Knesset. Excuse me. So he was walking home, whatever, and he bumps into Rav Simcha Wasserman. Simcha Wasserman was the Rav Elchanan Wasserman's son. Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem Yikom Damo, he was killed in the Holocaust in Europe. And Rav Simcha's son, and he bumps into Rav Simcha, and he goes, "Oh, how you doing? You know, your acquaintances." So Rav Lawrence said, I'm finished with the Knesset now, and I want to, start sit down and learning. I want to make a chavrusa. So maybe the Rav knows perhaps a chavrusa I can, find for me. So Rav Simcha says, "I don't know of a chavrusa per se to offer you, but I myself am looking for a chavrusa. Maybe you want to learn with me?" "Ah, of course, what an honor." So he said, "For sure, So certain after Kaveh time, and they end up, this chavrusa really, hit it off together, and they learned mamish on a regular basis for years, many, many years. They kept learning until Rav Simcha was nifter. So Rav Lawrence, he had an idea. He knew that Rav Simcha, he died without any children. He had no children, Rav Simcha was Basra. So Rav Lawrence had an idea. He says he himself had children. So he had a plot in Har HaZeisim. And so what he decided to do was sell the plot or whatever, and to buy a plot next to Rav Simcha, where Rav Simcha is buried in Har Menuchos. What was the idea? So the idea was that since Rav Simcha has no children, there's nobody really to say Kaddish, for him to come to his cavern and say Kaddish. So his idea was that he'll be buried next to him. So then when his kids come to his kever, to visit his kever, they can say Kaddish for him, so he'll be able to say Kaddish for Rav Simcha at the same time, he's right there, so they can say a tefillah for him also. So that's what he did. So what happened? This past Cheshvan, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, that's when Rav Lawrence was nifter. It's past Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. So what happened? He was buried, he bought the plot next to Rav Simcha, he was buried next to Rav Simcha Wasserman. And wouldn't you know it, when was Rav Simcha, when was his Yortzai, when was he Nifter? Bet Cheshvan, next day. Now, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, many have the minag of not to go to the Kever, to visit the Kever, not give an Inyan to visit the Kever, on Yortzai or whatever. There's an Inyan not to go on Rosh Chodesh, to go on the next day. So Mele, Rav Lawrence's kids, they come visit him on, normally would be on Rosh Chodesh, Cheshvan, not going on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan because it's Rosh Chodesh. So when do they go? Ben Cheshvan. Ben Cheshvan is the yortzeit of Rav Simcha Wasserman. So Mamish on the yortzeit, his kids are right there to be able to say Kaddish for both of them. Okay, let's look a little bit on the positive side of things. Right? We spoke about till now these maisim of the how detrimental speech could be on the negative side. But also it has, like everything, Mita Toba, Meruba, even a Piranius, the good side is much more. So there's a story, I'm not going to go into the whole background of the story, because I just want to glean one Nakuda here, one point, that there was a girl, Lolena very ill, the doctors did tests, she wasn't feeling well, and they came to the conclusion that she had a brain tumor. So they said she has to have an operation, this and that. The parents, of course, are beside themselves and know what to do. So they decided to mechazik themselves and to take upon themselves to say brachas with kavana, say yashar yatzar with kavana, whatever. And they got other people involved also to say to daven, say tilim, whatever. And they had a whole campaign going to help the for the refuah shleima of their daughter. So without going through the whole story, which is an interesting story, but in the end, the girl, you know, the doctors were going to operate. Last minute, the mother said, no, don't operate until you take a look at the test again, new tests, whatever. They did new tests, and they found out that there was no tumor, and big simcha. So one of the things that, you know, when they were, you know, going through this ordeal, the father was going through this, didn't say who it was, but a certain rav. And very strangely, the rav, you know, kept saying that everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. It's Yad HaTashmaya. Don't worry. Everything will be okay. So they said, okay, it's a funny thing to say. You know, everything will be okay. You know, daven for him. But why? So the father, after everything was okay, he came to the rav and said, how come you kept saying everything will be okay? How did you know everything's going to be okay? So he says, well, I have a Kabbalah from my rabbanim. And that is that if as long as down here, you know, in this world, the doctors are not koveya, they're not said 100% that this is the matzav, so then there's still hope that if you say things are going to be good, and can you say it'll be okay, everything will be okay, so that can have an effect, and things could really be okay. It's only once it's a fit to complain, they say, that's it, final, okay. As long as it's not 100%, even if it's 99%, as long as it's not 100% final, there's still hope that if you say things are going to be good, then just saying they're going to be good can change them and make them good. So therefore he said that, that's why I kept saying, things are going to be good, that in Shemayim, since it's not kavua down here, it's not kavua there either, and can change, and therefore here we see a wonderful example of how saying things positively, a positive speech, can have a very, very positive effect. So, one last nekuda here. There's a Gemara in Psachim, towards the beginning. The Gemara says, here it is. The Gemara says like this, very interesting, says, Yochanan Chakuka Nafik L'Kraisa. Yochanan Chakuka, some say that was the place where he's from. He was visiting the villages. So Kiyasa, when he came back, Amrulo, they said to him, Chitim Nasu Yafos? He said, tell us, you were out in the village. What's the status? How's the wheat? Is the wheat good? So Amar Lahem, he said, Sorim Nasa Yafos. So, what's the idea? He didn't want to say directly that, no, the chitim are bad. Because we said, you know, you're not supposed to speak bad because it can bring bad. So, instead of saying, no, the chitim is terrible, the wheat's terrible, he instead said that the se'arim are good. The barley. In other words, so you can pick up the hint, you know, no, the barley is good. Oh, in other words, the chita is not good. This we'd have to say the wheat's no good. And you said the barley is good, so that's mashma, we can understand from that the wheat wasn't good. However, amrulei, say biser lasusim, lachamorim, yichsiv asorim, atevin lasusim. So they got angry at him and says, why did you say it like that? He says, why did you say it like that? That the barley is good. So the Gemara asks, my havalei lemeimar. What do you mean? I mean, he was trying to watch out what he was saying. So, well, what better could he have said? What do you want from him? So Gemara says he should have said eshtekad nasu chitim yafot. What should he have said? He should have said when they asked him, "Is the wheat good?" He should have said, "Last year the wheat was good," or at least say that the adashim nasu yafot, that the lentils are good. Meaning, the simple pshat is that they were upset that if he's going to, fine, he didn't want to come out and said the wheat is bad. So he wanted to say that something, you know, give a hint. So why give the hint and said the barley is good when barley is animal food? So what you're doing, in a sense, is like giving a nice word for the animal food, so maybe now that'll make the animal food good. But, you know, come on, isn't it better to say something that would make the human food good? And therefore, he said, you should have said that last year the chita was good. or at least say that the lentils, which is a human food, is good. And therefore, you're not saying anything bad about the wheat. And not only that, you're saying something good about the human food, so that the human food could be good. So the Benayahu, Ben Ishchai, points out that we see from here that had he said that the Sa'arim last year was good, it's not like, oh, just to speak nice, that it could have had an effect and made the wheat that was this year that wasn't good into good. Because the Maisa, the wheat wasn't good. So what's it going to help saying last year the wheat was good? So he says, yes, that would help. Since if he would have praised the wheat and said something nice about the wheat, then if last year was good, that could have an effect, and there could be a brach on this year's wheat as well. So we see once again the power of the speech. And he brings a little maisa, is to top it up, off, and he says that there was a father, a very wealthy man, he had two sons. And he didn't want the sons to be lazy, lying around, do nothing. So they didn't need to work. He didn't want them to, you know, just lie, sit around bottle all day. So he gave them each money and said, here, start a business. And he said to them also that you shouldn't just squander the money. So he said, listen, I go into business and I want you to report back to me every Friday and tell me what's the story. If you profited that past week, I'll give you $50. If you didn't profit or you lost, chas v'shalom, then I'm not going to give you anything. Fine. So the two sons went out to work and got themselves business. And sure enough, week after week, how'd you do? Yes, I profited. How'd you do? Profited. Wonderful. Gave me $50. Next week, same thing. Next week, same thing. 1 week, they both didn't profit. So the first son comes in. His father says, how'd you do this week? He says, nope. I didn't profit. I took a loss, whatever. He says, okay. No, not giving you money. Goodbye. So the second son comes in. He also didn't profit. But he says, why should I, hurt my father, I didn't make any money this week. You know what I'll do? He says, I'll say it in such a way that it's not so direct. And what I'll say is, I profited last week. Then he'll, pick up on the hint that, last week, not this week. So it's a nice way of saying it. I don't just come out and say it, I lost money this week. So sure enough, the father calls him in and says, so how did you do this week? He says, well, I profited it last week. So what happened? Since he was careful and he guarded his tongue, says Benayahu, what happened? The father, Mina Shemaim, they made it happen that the father didn't pick up the last part of what he said. And the father just heard, I profited it. He didn't hear him say, last week. And as a result, he gave him the money. And he points out the story that, like we said about the wheat, sometimes, you speak properly, speak nicely, then Hashem will, even though it shouldn't happen, will make it happen that things work out for the good. So that's our lesson for this week, that how we have to be careful with our speech. And chas v'shalom, we saw if this person speaks bad and even and without intent, it can have detrimental effects. Be careful of that. And also on the positive side, when we say things, even though we saw things that are seemingly innocent comments, but if we're careful to not to say it bad, to say it in a positive way, the Kadosh Baruch Hu will turn these positive comments into positive zchuyos for us. And we should all merit many of these zchuyos and the ultimate zchus of bias kol tzedek b'mehirah v'yameinu.
Amen. Amen.